On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Pay attention. Pay attention. Stop. Pay attention.
Fakeheads, what time is it?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Starring Jeff Lutz.
There's Duda. Oh, I might sell insurance today. I may not. I don't know. I'll probably golf and go eat at Cheddar's.
That sounds like a lethal combination.
And Jason Duda.
Speaking of heroes, here's mine.
You're looking at me like that's crazy all day long.
The details of my life are quite inconsequential.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
In real life, such ridiculous nonsense. Something worse than any punishment this world has to offer.
No!
And you're invited to partake of it.
Joe.
Good afternoon slash evening and welcome. It is Bob and Jeff on KFH. As you may have heard in the intro, Bob has passed on being on the program today. We offered him a lucrative one-day contract. He passed. He said, no, not going to do it with all the incentives. So we brought Jason Duda in instead. Jason Duda, it's the first time we've hosted this show together by ourselves without Bob since the time slot move to 5 o'clock.
Right.
To 7 o'clock.
Right.
That's our new time slot that we're on.
Yeah, I'm tired.
It is 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's too late.
How you feeling?
I just told you I'm tired.
But how are you 3 hours ago?
Oh, I was money.
Yeah, I could tell. I knew it.
Just money. And then the wall came.
Yeah, it happens.
But I'm drinking coffee, so give me a little bit and I'll be all right.
The wall, it doesn't hit every day.
No.
Which is the problem, because then you could plan for it, prepare for it, know when it's coming. And when it comes, you don't know when it's coming.
No, you don't.
It's not the same time that it was the last time.
And it should be.
Sometimes it hits at 10 a.m. Sometimes it hits at 9 p.m. You just don't know.
Yeah, why?
But you feel it.
I know.
It's the same.
But why? Why doesn't it?
I don't know. Depends,
I
guess.
I thought you knew all this stuff.
It depends on your sleep schedule, I guess, the amount of activity you've exerted in previous days. What's been going on? There's a lot of factors. That's why it doesn't happen every day.
There is a lot of factors?
Seems like it, right?
Are you sure?
Feels like it.
Well, okay.
Am I wrong?
If you say so, because I believe every word you've ever said.
We've been going swimming at the YMCA.
That's good. I'm proud of you.
It is pretty fun. Like, I don't understand why more people don't swim to work out.
I got
to
do something.
You don't sweat.
Well, so what? That's what does that have to do with
it? I'm just saying it's like fun. It's an enjoyable workout.
Yeah.
Do you swim? Are you a swimmer at all?
I like to swim.
Yeah.
I can swim.
Are you a member of any local health club?
That's crazy talk. I wasn't a member when I was playing hockey, for crying out loud.
Well,
why would I get one when I don't have to go?
You don't ever have to go. When you're a professional athlete, why would you go to the gym? You just go to the workout facility wherever the arena is, right?
Yeah, that's what I always did. Every day.
Did the Kansas Coliseum have, like, weights you could go lift?
No.
Anywhere? It didn't?
Nothing.
Just the bike, maybe?
It had two bikes. One worked, kind of. The other one was pretty good.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Kept you in shape.
Well, you know, you're in the minors. You got to deal with what you got to deal with.
And
it's all good.
When did the weight system come along at Interest Bank Arena? Was that from the very beginning?
There was a weight room there right away.
Okay. And they also had bikes.
We had bikes in there. There wasn't a lot of weights when we first moved in the first year, but then got some more later on.
What would have had to have happened for you to lift weights at work?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it's possible.
Just never happened.
I just wasn't into it, you know?
I hear you.
Had nothing, just did not want to do it.
Should you have done it, in your opinion? Do you look back now and say, man, I wonder what would have happened if I just, you know, lifted
weights? I think what happened was I knew that I was done. I wasn't going to go any further with the way hockey was at that time. I mean, if you weren't 6'2", people weren't really interested in you. And then once you got to like 23, 24, you're just at that point.
You're kind of old.
You're kind of old for somebody to get in an organization. So I figured I was probably here, so I might as well enjoy myself.
Yeah, just play to play.
Played to play because I like to play.
Do your best.
And I had fun. On the ice. It was good. Yeah, so that's probably why. And they purposely make those things heavy. Like, people actually make them heavy and put them there.
It's still... Well,
that's crazy. Why would I go pick up something somebody actually made 50 pounds?
It's shocking. When people hear you talk, they have to wonder what could have been. Because you're this, you know, laissez-faire kind of guy. Do you like that word?
I have no idea what it means.
So. I'm not sure I know what it means either.
Well, that's fantastic then.
Let's look it up. That's what we do on this show. We look things up. Laissez-faire definition. Obviously, that would be French. And it means allow to do. Let people do as they choose. So that's Jason. You just do what you want to do, right?
Well, I don't mean not all the time, but
policy or attitude of letting things take their own course without interfering.
Exactly.
Let
her go, people. Whatever happens, happens. I mean, everybody wants to plan for the future and later on, but I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. Who knows what's going to happen? I've always said that for years.
So what does that equal to you philosophically?
That's just too deep, man. How am I supposed to answer something like that?
Do you turn the switch off because you don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow, or do you try to live life to the fullest because you don't? To me, it seems like you turn the switch off.
Yeah.
Really? That's one way of doing it, I guess.
The switch is gone.
Like, I may die tomorrow.
Yeah.
Why do anything?
Why do that today?
Today?
It'll still be there tomorrow.
Unless you're dead.
And then I don't have to worry about it. See?
I mean, it's
pretty easy to figure out, Jeff.
I guess that's one way of looking at it.
Exactly.
It's fair. It's not. I'm not calling you out on this. I'm not calling you crazy.
I wouldn't think so.
It's not the life path many choose.
No, absolutely not.
But it's the life you've chosen.
And I understand that.
And there's nothing.
And that is fine.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Everybody should do what they would rather do.
You were a professional athlete, for crying out loud. You got paid to play a sport.
I did. And it was great. It really, really was.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
How could you have not enjoyed it?
I don't know. Did everybody enjoy it? Were there guys out there who didn't enjoy it?
Well, I'm sure at times there's always you're going to have stretches where you're not enjoying it for whatever the reason is.
Were there guys out there who didn't like hockey?
Oh, I'm sure.
Do you know of any?
Well, I wouldn't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure there are some.
Yeah.
You can tell guys when you're in the dressing room, or they just don't want to ever do anything or don't seem to be playing as hard as you can. I mean, you can see it. But for me to say that about somebody would be... wrong.
You can't do that.
No.
That would be breaking the athlete code.
Unless it was, I said it about me.
Which you kind of already did, but that's okay.
And I did. And I'm okay with it.
But you still have your jersey hanging from the rafters at Interest Bank Arena. Not everyone can say that.
No.
Some of the greats in their respective industries and sports and games do not have their jersey hanging from the rafters of an arena.
Well, I can't argue with you.
A legit arena that the Eagles have played in. The Eagles have played in the arena.
And that's what counts.
With Duda 11 hanging above them. Isn't that crazy?
They were so lucky they didn't even know it.
Don Henley probably looked up and said, Duda, who's that?
He's probably thinking, oh, my, I can't believe I didn't call him to come sing with me while I was here.
Maybe they should have.
They probably should have.
You probably didn't see Bob's performance.
Probably would have sold out quicker.
Easily.
Yeah.
You probably didn't see Bob's performance of Peaceful Easy Feeling at League 42 over the weekend.
I did not. How'd it go?
Put on Facebook. I don't know if your wife showed you that.
She said something about it, but...
You didn't care to watch?
I didn't watch it, no.
Yeah, he seemed fine. He seemed okay. He was, you know, his ego was sufficiently stroked by the people who commented on the Facebook post that he made.
That's all.
And you know how Bob is.
I do.
He's been talking about it ever since.
Has he?
He can't quite let it go.
Every show, Monday, Tuesday, it was brought up.
Yes.
Yeah, no surprise.
And it would have been brought up today. It has been by me, but he would have said something.
Well,
too.
He'll probably bring it up tomorrow because I'll be there. So he'll have to ask me about it.
Tomorrow and Friday.
That's what I'm told. Well, yeah, what are you doing Friday?
I don't know. He just said, do you want Friday off? And I may still end up coming in.
Yeah, you probably should.
But I got stuff to do at work.
Because then I'll have a game. If not, I'm not doing a game.
You have to do a game. Bob doesn't allow you to not do a game.
Well, then
he gets very frustrated when
the game person doesn't bring in the game.
But he never does the game.
He never has done the game in his life.
He doesn't do the game.
Isn't that crazy? Here I am. How long have we been doing this show? 10 years.
You know how hard it is to continue, to continue to do a game?
And I don't
It's hard.
And I don't do the same game.
It's hard to come up with.
It is hard to come up with a game every week for 10 years.
I think we should let him do it from now on.
We should.
It's a new year, 2025. He can do the games.
And then he'll say, well, you get the guests then, or something like that. Everything with Bob is a transaction.
It's
never something just out of the goodness of his heart. You know what I'm saying?
So annoying.
It's terrible. It's upsetting. Did you hear the other piece of big news?
No, what?
If you haven't heard it, then you probably, if you have heard it, you would know it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, then
our friend Joe Auer is retiring.
No.
Yes.
Is he really? At the end of this year?
At the end of this year.
Oh, boy.
And it's not by choice.
Oh, well, that
is essentially being forced out by a USD 259 rule that disables people, teachers, workers, coaches, from being employed by the district after age 60 if they were hired in a certain time frame.
What?
Yes.
No.
That's correct.
That's true?
Yes.
Why is that? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
It's one of the dumbest things you'll ever hear of. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. So we had Joe on the show. He didn't want to talk about that much on Monday when we had him on. That's just unfortunate. Arguably the best coach. He's top two, Steve Eck and Joe Auer, the top two coaches. They met last night, by the way. Heights pulled off a victory over Capen. And now that Joe's done after this year at Heights. Hopefully, it won't be the same, but hopefully he pops up somewhere in the area and continues to coach. Where that would be, I don't know.
That's nuts. How is that a rule? Who made that rule? Who put that in there?
I don't know. It's the state of Kansas, I assume. Some kind of rule. Maybe it was the district. I'm not sure. I'm not educated enough to speak about it. All I know is that's how we lost Weston Schartz. Once he turned 60, he could no longer coach in the Wichita school district, so he had to go over to Capen. Private school route.
Well, that's...
Maybe Joe Auer takes over for Steve Eck at Capen. I assume Steve Eck will continue to coach after this year. But I don't know. That'd be my assumption. Just crazy how it works out.
I don't like that.
And I'm still working on my Joe Auer story.
You are?
Yes. Fully working on it.
Fully?
Yes. Doing interviews, transcribing interviews... And that will come out, the plan is January 27th.
January 27th.
I better
27th.
Get moving.
Yeah, you better get.
I still have a couple interviews left to do.
How many?
At least two. His wife and his father. We'll see about after that. That'll be like 7 or 8 interviews. You know, he could interview everyone on the planet about Joe Auer. All the people he's coached, all the teachers he's worked with, all the young minds he's influenced over the years. There is no shortage of people you could talk to about Joe Auer, officials. Like, I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's just so many.
It's a lot.
He's rubbed elbows with many in the community.
I'm still dumbfounded by the fact that just because he's over 60, he can't coach because of a state rule.
Right, he can.
So you have a great coach. You have... And now you're just throwing him away, basically.
Right.
Out of the state to coach.
Out of the school district.
Well, out of the school district, right. But basically he's not going to be coaching anymore.
He could coach out of the school district. But it's a USD 259 thing, which is absolutely asinine.
I actually feel bad for Joe. That's terrible.
It is terrible. And when you could tell.
Why? Whatever.
We'll speak.
All these rules and all this crap and he practiced it and all that. And then to do it to a coach that's been around for as long as Joe has.
Right. You want that guy to leave your
district?
You want
that guy to be there as long as you possibly can. You want to try to keep guys like that. I don't know. It's actually disturbing to me.
I understand.
That some idiot sitting behind a desk who's probably never done any of it before in his life, never been in a game, is like, oh, this is a pretty good idea. I'll write this in, and people will think, oh, geez, good job.
Yeah, you lose teachers, you lose coaches.
It's not a good job. It's stupid.
I would love to hear someone explain what they believe is the benefit of this rule.
How is there a benefit?
I don't know, but they came up with it.
Well,
so
I want to know who came up with it. I'm going to have to do some Googling.
Should we call the...
It might take me a while.
Should we call the USD 259 spokesperson, Susan Arnsman, and see if she'll come on and talk about it?
Yeah.
I mean, I doubt that will happen, but, you know, it'd be nice to get some kind of explanation. It's a rule because someone thought it would be for the good of the school district, right? Someone with the school district made the rule because they thought it would work out. I don't know the answer.
And they just want to be able to say, yeah, well, I got that passed. I did that. Yeah, well, whoever did it, you look like a moron right now. That's what I think.
Maybe that's why we don't know who it is, because they didn't want to.
Oh, they'll probably never tell you.
Put their name out there.
Somebody will find it.
Probably.
Somebody will figure it out.
I'm sure with a few clicks of the mouse, we can figure out exactly how that went down.
Well,
I'd rather just be mad about it.
Well, we can do that too. I can stay like this.
Because if there's something logical about it, which, you know, maybe there is that we just can't think of, I don't want to know that. I'd just rather be upset about it.
Yeah.
Because you're losing a valuable member of your school district.
Whatever. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
I agree. You want to hear what's on the show today?
Yeah, sure.
We'll talk to a basketball coach. Of an undefeated team, but it is not Joe Auer and the Heights boys. It's the Heston girls, who are 6-0, defending Class 3A champions, and it's Matt Richardson. He's their coach. He'll be on at 2:25, which is also, we like to call it, 5:25.
So confusing.
I don't get it either.
But it is what it is, I guess.
It is.
Hey.
When I'm planning the show, I don't know how to write down 5:25.
You can't. Because then you'd have to stay here until 5:25.
Exactly.
To do the interview.
Well, I am. It is.
Well, it is 5:25.
Exactly.
But it's
about to be.
Okay, we got to stop because
you're getting a little confused.
Yeah, I'm getting dizzy, lightheaded.
At 2:45, we'll be joined by a comedian making a second appearance on this show. He'll be at Temple Live on Friday. His name is Jamarco Ceresi.
You guys had him on before?
We've had him on before.
Oh, very nice.
He's in Wichita. He's got this little stretch that I'm looking forward to asking him about, where he goes from Oklahoma City tomorrow, Wichita Friday, and Lawrence Saturday. Lawrence. And then every other date, he's in New York, California, Canada. He's not in the middle of the country ever again. Like, ever. But he's got these three dates just right here. What's going on?
And then he's going to Canada.
He'll be in Canada for a long time. 3:25, Mike Furches. You excited?
Always.
He'll be in studio with
us. He's going to be in studio?
At 6:25.
That's...
This is hard. I haven't done this before.
Carry the two, add the three.
Yes.
Minus one. Plus one.
Just know we are speaking to you from the future or the past.
The past.
Yes.
The past becomes the future. But that's true.
Yeah.
Does it? Is that true?
Tell people what it was like in the past.
Well, an hour ago, I was driving.
Me too.
See? Now I'm here.
Crazy, isn't it?
But when you're going to listen to this, I'll be driving again. Figure that one out.
Insane.
Good
luck
to you.
I'll probably be at the Y.
There's the riddle, everyone. Put it together.
As you listen to this, I am swimming.
What time is it right now?
5:20? It's 5:20.
I'll be starting probably cooking.
I'm not swimming yet. And at 5:45, 6:45. It's hard, man. Jamel Holoperic from Visit Wichita, he's going to talk to us about the U.S. Figure Skating Championships that are coming to Wichita, Kansas next week.
That's right. And you should go to that. It's unbelievable.
It's going to be amazing.
Those athletes are so good.
You
have
U.S. championships.
No idea. I know. Here.
The winner of the weekend or the week will be the United States champion of figure skating.
Yes.
Crazy. And that's happening right here in Wichita.
Right here.
Unbelievable.
Good stuff.
That's the show today. We'll go to break, come back, and talk to Matt Richardson, the aforementioned coach of the Heston Swathers girls basketball team. And that is coming up next. Jason Duda's here. Bob out. Max Power, our producer and engineer, takes us to break. It's Bob and Jeff on KFH.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
So Bob and Jeff on KFH. We're happy to be joined on the hotline by the coach of the Heston Swathers girls basketball team. They're 6-0, number one in Class 3A, defending Class 3A champions. Matt Richardson is our guest. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, thanks for making time for us today. You got the win over Hoisington yesterday. You're 6-0. Obviously, coming off a championship season, is this about as good a time to be a Heston Swather as there has been?
Well, it's been pretty good. I mean, you know, to slightly correct you, we were runner up last year.
Oh, my bad. I thought I saw you. Did you beat Goodland?
No, we beat Goodland in the semifinals.
Okay, I'm sorry. My apologies. My apologies.
Silver Lake in the finals gave them a heck of a game. Didn't quite come away on the right side, though. So it's a pretty cool time to be a Swather because that was the fourth year in a row. Heston High School has been in the state championship game of basketball, three for the boys and then us for the girls. We've just got a lot of good things going on, good numbers for our programs, lots of excitement in the community about the program. So it's just a lot of fun to be here in the community.
Well, Coach, tell us about some of those players that you got this year. And maybe even if you wanted to date back to a little bit last year, some of the seniors maybe that you'd lost.
Well, we didn't have a senior last year on the roster.
Well, there you have it.
So it's been a lot of fun having this group of five girls for the last 2 years as leaders, driving our program, putting us in the right position. Last year we were 22-4. We put it together at the right time. We actually took fourth place in our league. Our league is extremely tough on the girls' side. In fact, we had as of this week, we were 1-2-3 in the league in the state. So we were number one, Halstead's two, and Haven was three. So it's just been a lot of fun for us as a coaching staff and a players just to come together and come into practice every day, working hard with a set goal in mind about where we want to be at the end of the season.
Talking with Matt Richardson, the girls basketball coach at Heston, 6-0. You've got Hillsboro Friday. That's never too easy. And then the tournament, you follow that up with, like you said, you've got Halstead and Haven in the second half of the year, Haven a little bit later on. How much do you gear up for this part of the season with the tournament? And then it's kind of just all downhill from there, isn't it? It goes pretty fast.
It does go extremely fast, especially when you've had some postponed games. So we're going to have some three-game weeks. The Hillsboro tournament has six of the eight teams are ranked in their prospective classes. So it's going to be a heck of a tournament at Hillsboro this coming week. And we can't even overlook Hillsboro. They were 3-3 going into last night, and then they were able to get a win over Haven last night, 49-43. So you just cannot overlook some of the, you know, the top half to top two-thirds of our league. It's just a brutal, brutal group of kids that just love to go out and compete each and every night. So you just can't overlook anybody.
Coach, what are your thoughts on these on the tournaments? Obviously, this is kind of in the middle of the season. Everybody's playing in a tournament. Do you like that? Is that something you'd rather have before the season? Do you like it where it's at? And how much does everybody look forward to it?
You know, we do try to have a preseason tournament, which I enjoy. It gets us a little bit of a look. And I really, really enjoy the midseason tournament. We usually have a break after that tournament. Just let the kids to have a day off, maybe, you know, do something different, not in the gym. Just because basketball is a grind of 4.5 months. And when you're expecting quite a bit out of the kids, you also want to have a happy balance between that being competitive and also having some fun with it as well. Our kids come with a really great attitude, high expectations of themselves. Like I said, we have some great senior leadership with these five girls who have already been through this once already. And, it's just really exciting to look forward to these tournaments. And then there's no room to actually take a breath. I mean, we go right back to Buehler, who's playing really well this year. And then our league schedule is just extremely tough as well.
Matt Richardson with us. He's the girls basketball coach at Heston. So, yeah, I for some reason, you know, I thought the game against Goodland was the state championship game. But ending the season the way you did with no seniors, everybody comes back. You know, not much changes personnel-wise. What about mindset-wise? How much does that motivate a group, and how have you seen that kind of play out with this team over the course of this season?
We have come in with some good expectations. We've talked quite a lot about maintaining a full 32-minute game. It's just hard when you haven't done that for 9 months or, you know, 7-8 months out of the year, and you come back and you try to play 32 solid minutes to try to be in it with your brain the entire game. I think for girls basketball, if a team can stay with it mentally longer than the other team, they're going to be very successful in the outcome of the game. So these kids come in with great attitudes, and they're always willing to do some of the different and interesting things that our coaching staff asks them to do to change up some things depending on who we play. And they make adjustments very well.
Yeah, you know, this is a league that's always pretty tough at the top. Is this about as strong depth-wise as it's been? I know you've been at Heston for a while, so I don't know if it's the strongest, the best, but I have to imagine it ranks pretty high up there as far as depth of the league.
Yep, and yeah, I think you probably have to go back to the 2014-2015 seasons to win to have anything that would even come close to having our leagues look like this, for the girls' side at least. In 2014 and 15, or 14, we played Lions in the state tournament game and won that game. And just an expectation of those kids that you knew. Everybody had our league schools just had an expectation to go and win, and it was a dogfight every night. This year is no different. You know, you've got our team that's really come around. Halstead beat us in the regular season last year, and then we were able to eke them out in the sub-state final last year to go to state. And it's just one of those times where kids are just excited to play and wanting to make sure they're staying focused towards the end of the season.
Matt Richardson with us, the girls basketball coach at Heston High School. So I think a lot of people around the state know how much Heston supports its athletic programs. It's been a little bit since I worked for the Eagle, but I know every time I went to Heston or covered a game in the state tournament where Heston was involved, the community support was really, really strong. I assume it's still that way. How much do you feed off of that?
You can't take it for granted. Our community is always backed and pushed what our sporting things do. We've got a bond issue going on right now that put up a tremendous fine arts building, and we're looking to see how that will play out. So we want to keep our kids well-rounded. It's not just the athletics here in Heston, but we really have some wonderful, well-rounded kids that really put themselves out there no matter where they go, and a great community pushing and following us right along the way.
Do you mind telling us about a few players that have been sure. Solid for you this year?
Yep. I've got Kendall Bruggen is a senior for us. She is a solid player. She's coming in averaging a little over 26 points a game this season. She's had to pick up a little bit of the scoring load early on this season because our number two scorer, Abby Proctor, has been out a couple games for about a month. with just a little injury, and we're kind of nursing her back to health, so she'll be with us to the end of the season. Abby was averaging about 14 points a game before she went absent from us. Another senior for us that's a great defender, good little girl, name's Ava McGill. Well-rounded. She's a great defender, usually picks up the other team's point guard. Senior in the middle, Casey Mason, is a well-rounded player. She's been playing since she was a sophomore as well, averaging about 5 points a game. And our last senior would be Avery Crable. Just has been willing to step in. She didn't play much at all last year and has done a nice job stepping in, starting, and playing quite a bit of minutes since Abby Proctor's been out. Our other starter is our little point guard, little junior point guard, Callie Yoder, just a great kid. And we've been playing about 10 to 11 kids per ball game so far. So we've just been rotating in, trying to get quite a few minutes and see how we can get some scoring and who plays well together. And so it's been very beneficial for us to have a deep, deep bench.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, we appreciate it. Congratulations on your season so far, and just looking at your schedule, it's going to be an absolute grind in February. You play the 4th, 7th, 10th, 11th, 14th, 17th, 18th. It's like an NBA schedule.
Yes, it's like I say, I'm not looking forward to those three-game weeks. We want to make sure that we have some fresh legs when we come toward the end of February.
Thanks again for your time, Coach. Good luck Friday against Hillsboro and as the season continues.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, and I appreciate everything.
Absolutely. Matt Richardson from the Heston girls basketball team. Man, they beat Goodland last year, ending a long winning streak for Goodland. And I thought that was a state championship game, but it wasn't.
Oh, well, it happens.
It happens sometimes. Bob, Jason, Jeff, tomorrow on the show. It's the three-man booth, as we like to call it.
Yep.
Even though we don't do the show from a booth.
That's a good point.
We could.
There's no reason not to.
Seems like we lack space.
No, we could do it from the booth.
What booth?
This booth.
Is this a booth?
Would this be considered a booth?
It's kind of like a studio.
The studio booth?
Yeah. Three-man studio just doesn't have the same oomph to it.
No. I don't know. That's confusing.
If you listen to the first two segments of the show, you might have heard that Jamarco Ceresi was scheduled to join us. He has not made that phone call.
How do you feel about that?
I don't like it.
No?
I do not like it.
Not at all?
What do you think's going on there?
He forgot to call. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Must be, right?
I mean, you would think. But unless his show sold out, why wouldn't you want to call?
He's been on the show before, I assume. He probably doesn't remember it, but I hope he had a positive experience and looked forward to being on again.
Well, maybe that's it.
You think so?
Maybe you two did something that wasn't proper or asked a question that was, how do I word this correctly? Inappropriate?
Have we ever done that?
I don't think you have for sure.
We're pretty professional when it comes to interviews. Now, when we're bantering back and forth, you know, sometimes we could lose that element a little bit.
That element goes right out the window. Let's just be honest.
No, I mean, we're not getting kicked off the air or anything.
Absolutely not.
There are no FCC violations.
Not yet, which is pretty good, actually.
Oh, yeah, we're pretty level-headed people.
What happens that? Like, do you get a phone call? Do you get a letter? What's the scoop? How does that process work?
I've heard about fines from television stuff. I don't think any have happened, like big ones that I know of, have happened while I've been at Channel 12, but I've heard stories of things like that happening. There are obviously things you can't say on the radio, not like even the bad words, but like trademark stuff, and you know, there's rules, but I've never been fined personally, so that's good.
There's other things we can't say?
Yeah.
Why doesn't anybody tell me about this? What if I accidentally say it?
We enroll you in those video classes.
I've taken them.
Every year. Do those not rub off on you?
Obviously not.
Have you not remembered all the rules that you're supposed to follow?
I do not remember all the rules.
I hope you don't say something that gets us kicked off the air, but
well,
maybe if you do, that's okay.
It could be. It might happen.
You never know.
If we're going to get kicked off, might as well go out in a big bang.
You might as well.
Why wouldn't you? Seriously, why not?
Absolutely.
Except the I can't right now, though.
Why not? Well, he'll edit that out? Is that what you're saying?
Probably.
That is too bad. That is unfortunate.
Oh, wow.
I was listening to Rich Eisen on the way over here.
Okay.
He was on several hours ago now. But the drive was very long.
Long drive.
Yes. And he was talking with Von Miller. And nothing in particular about that interview struck me. But I was just thinking, and this is not advanced thinking by any stretch of the imagination, but you do have to kind of put it in perspective, right? The Ravens play the Bills this week.
Yes,
you're correct. The biggest game on the schedule for this round of the playoffs.
No question.
One of those teams is going to lose.
Did you just come to that? Did that just
hit you? I think that's an important perspective to have. Because we talk about who wins and who doesn't win. Only one team can win, Jason.
You're hitting me with some great knowledge today.
But wow. You understand what I'm saying, right? We're gonna like, oh, what does this do to his legacy, to whoever loses this game? And only one team can win the game. Somebody has to lose.
Somebody's going to.
So that doesn't necessarily, to me, hamper or dampen someone's legacy. Just the fact that they lost this game and don't have a Super Bowl. It's really hard. It's really hard. You played sports.
It's
you
hard.
You didn't lift weights, but it's difficult.
That's right.
Difficult to win.
It's difficult to lift weights. No question about it.
It's difficult to win 4 out of 7 games like you had to in postseason play. It's much more difficult to win one game.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, at any time you could have an off night, right? And if it's that day, you're in trouble.
So think
but
about,
when it comes to Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, who I think that's who you're speaking of.
Yes. Did I not say
that? I think that if I had to pick, this is more important for Lamar than Josh. Because Lamar, he's just known as the guy that unbelievable regular seasons and then can't do anything in the playoffs.
Sure.
Right?
But that, again, I don't think that's quite fair. Think about all the really good teams there are in football this year. You have the Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Lions. I'd probably put the Eagles right up there. Is that fair?
Yeah, at 5, I guess I could do that. The top 4 are the top 4.
So if the Chiefs win this year, and the Bills win next year, and the Lions win the year after that, and then the Eagles win, that's 4 really good teams that have won a championship, right?
True.
And the Ravens haven't won any of those.
Right.
So is that really on Lamar, that 4 different really good teams won? And they just happen to not be one of them?
Well, it does, because in football nowadays, it's all about the quarterback. The quarterback won. Mahomes won. Right? So then it's going to say, well, Jared Goff finally got one. And then you're going to say Josh Allen got one. But Lamar hasn't got one yet. And when they win, it goes to the quarterback. Quarterback gets a lot of praise when you win. So you have to take it. It's part of the gig. That's why those guys are making $50 million a year.
I think that's just such one of those easy arguments that people have, right? We look
here
back,
we go again.
We look back, right, on, Patrick Ewing never won a championship. Charles Barkley never won a championship.
Dan Marino, if you want to get to football.
Jr., Dan Marino never won a championship. But we don't remember what it was like when it happened. Right, we're talking legacy and what this guy did and his 20 years down the road. We don't remember what it's like in the moment. Well, they lost to the Bills who had Josh Allen. They lost to the Chiefs who had Patrick Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
somebody has to lose.
That's the way it works. But if it's the same team over and over again, the same guy over and over again, that's what people are going to pick out. That's just the way it works. Same way as winning and losing.
I don't like it.
Just the way it works.
I don't like it.
Well, I don't think you should like it. And I don't know who's going to win that game. That to me is an absolute coin flip.
Zay Flowers might not play.
He didn't play last week. They ran for 8 million yards.
Yeah, there's a lot they of different got a ways lot. Baltimore can beat you.
If Zay Flowers, I don't think is that big of an.
It's nice.
You
want to
talk
him.
Wide receivers? Who does Buffalo have?
They got Shakir.
Oh, they have Khalil Shakir.
He's Knox. Pretty good.
Well, he's good, but he's not Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase or Amon-Ra St. Brown who's left or Nico Collins or Puka Nacua. He's not that guy.
Really one star receiver left in the AFC, and that's Nico. And even him.
And he's probably, I mean, he's very good.
Very
but
good.
He's not the guy that's going to come to mind right away.
No. Would you say he's the best receiver left in the AFC?
In the AFC?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Because who on the Chiefs are you going to take? Nobody.
Not really, no.
It's random.
Rashee Rice, if he's healthy, is probably in that mix.
Hopkins isn't horrible.
Hopkins is past his prime, let's just be honest.
He's, again, nice to have.
And they're barely using him the last four games that they played. And then you look at the Ravens. They lose Zay Flowers. No, isn't going to move the needle for anybody, really. And the Bills have what? They picked up Amari Cooper, who they don't throw it to.
Is he even there anymore?
Like, they got Shakir, who they've been using, but he's not like he's going to get you 100 yards every game. He's going to get you 50 to 70. There is no star receivers left in the AFC.
Except Nico.
Well, yeah,
Nico's
but Nico's good. Yeah, let's be honest. Nico's good.
Who was the best receiver in the AFC to start? Nobody for Denver. Is Ladd McConkey, was he the best AFC receiver in the playoffs? Or was it Nico?
Well, I don't think you could put Ladd in there yet. But yeah, Nico's young. I don't know. That's a good question, because there really wasn't any star receivers. Am I missing somebody?
I don't think so.
Who would I be missing?
Well, the teams that are out
of the AFC.
Is there another AFC team that we're missing that was in the playoffs?
Well, you had Pittsburgh, right? There's nobody there.
Pickens seemed like he could have been that, but no.
Cortland Sutton, but he's just kind of a guy. Yeah, I mean, that's probably it.
It's weird.
It is weird.
And then you'll see these guys.
And then other than the other side of it, you got Jamar Gibbs. You got some running backs. You got Gibbs, you got Henry, you got Saquon that are left. Even Kyren Williams a little bit.
Gibbs is so good.
He's unbelievable.
He's underrated because he plays in the same league as Henry and Saquon. But he's ridiculous.
Well, he's going to be good. And bringing Montgomery back is going to take some touches away, but it didn't seem to bother him throughout the year.
No, I mean, he's the guy.
He had 250 carries and 1,400 yards.
That's incredible.
Do you want to do the math?
No.
That's over five and a half yards per carry.
You sure?
It's over 5.5.
That's really good.
Well, 15 would be six per carry. So it's just over 5.5.
Okay, I believe you.
16 touchdowns, plus what he does in the air.
He's good, I'm telling you. You don't need to tell me that Jahmyr Gibbs is good. I'm the one who brought it up to begin with.
There you go.
5.6 yards a carry.
I know is Puka Nacua is, oh my God, I'd love to have that guy.
He's very good.
Did you see A.J. Brown reading a book?
I did.
That guy
must have really struck you as odd.
It was.
Like, that must have blown your mind.
But then I was listening somewhere, and they say he does that, like, all the time. And then somebody figured out what book it was, and then it was now the Amazon's
like
bestseller.
Number one Amazon. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
How would that be? How sweet that is.
Well, it's a good gig if you can get it.
Happy days.
That is our number one. We'll take a break right now. Come back with, what is it? Three? Hour number two. I think that's how it goes.
It's the prequel.
Mike Furches joins us at about 6:25. And then Jamel Hall-Perrick. Stay with us.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.